we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. As we always say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Did you hear what I said? This is the day. This is it. This is it. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day. This is it. This is it. Listen, listen. This is what? This is the day that God is up to something great in your life. Yeah, this is it. This is it. Matter of fact, you're going to look back on this day and you're going to say, wow, you know, it was on that day. It was on that day. Yeah, yeah. So this is the day. Listen, God is up to something great in your life. And so I want you to have a positive outlook on your life, particularly on this day. On this day. And listen, I don't care if something bad happened to you today. I don't care if you get a pink slip that day. This is going to be the day that's going to change your life the rest of your life. Did you hear what I said? This is going to be the day that's going to change your life for the rest of your life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, anyway, we are one day closer to our blessing. We are one day closer to that big blessing that God's got in store for you. Oh, yes, yes. I know I'm right. See, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we're going to inherit a blessing. The Bible says it's God's desire to give you the kingdom. One day you're going to have the kingdom. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. Oh, so stay positive, my sister. Stay positive, my brother. You're going to get it sooner or later. It's coming your way. The best is yet to come. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Listen, listen, listen. Just in case, listen, just in case you have a Bible question or you have a marriage question, you have a question pertaining to the Christian life, or you got a hot topic you want us to discuss here in the Situation Room, you can email me at BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. Or you can call at 972-257-3766. You can call me at 972-257-3766. All right. Now, we got a wonderful program scheduled for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on Bible questions and answers. Bible questions and answers. And I always get excited about Bible questions and answers. All right, so let me get my Bible. I got my Bible. Now, if you at home or if you somewhere where you can get your Bible, you can get your Bible too. If you got a pen and paper, you can write these scriptures down, because we got plenty of scriptures for you today. All right, first question. Is it wrong to be a Jehovah Witness, and why? Is it wrong to be a Jehovah Witness, and why? Now, you know, mom and dad and them, they used to tell you, yeah, it's wrong. And then they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't explain themselves. They just say, yeah, it's wrong, but they wouldn't explain themselves. But I'm going to explain myself, all right? Is it wrong to be a Jehovah Witness, and why? Yes, it's wrong. Did you hear what I said? Yes, it's wrong to be a Jehovah Witness. And I'm going to give you several reasons why. Did you hear what I said? Yes, it's wrong to be a Jehovah Witness. And I'm going to give you seven reasons why. Several reasons, not seven. I could give you seven, but I don't know if time's going to permit me. Well, first of all, the Jehovah Witnesses, and this is the big one, they deny the Trinity. They deny the Trinity. That's the thing about the Jehovah Witness. They deny the Trinity. You know, we believe in the Trinity. We believe that our God is one God in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, not three gods. One God in three persons. God reveals himself in three persons in the scriptures. Matter of fact, Genesis 1 and 26. Genesis 1, 26. The Bible says, let us make man in our own image after our own likeness. Well, it's in the plural there. Who's the us? Who's the our? He's not talking to angels. God is talking to himself. He's talking to the Trinity. He's God the Father is talking to God the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. Then in Genesis chapter 11, verse number 7, when they built the Nimrod and them built the Tower of Babel. And Genesis chapter 11, they was trying to build a, you know, this tower that was reaching to heaven and stuff. But God, when he looked down on it, the scripture says in Genesis 11 and 7, let us go down. Let us go down. Who's he talking about? Let us go down. He's not talking to the angels again. He's not talking to Adam and Eve, you know. He's talking to the Father. And the Father is talking to the Son and the Holy Spirit again. And then in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8, he says, who will go for us? Who's going to go witness to the world for us? Who's the us? Again, we got God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity, it reveals itself all through the Old Testament, from the beginning to the end. And then when you come over in the New Testament, the Trinity is present at Jesus' baptism in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. When Jesus came out of the water after John had baptized him, the Bible says that God the Father spoke from heaven. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit of God landed upon Jesus in the form of a dove. So we see the Trinity right there. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then in the Great Commission, Jesus says, all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so you see, the Trinity is again revealed right there in the Great Commission. So that's one reason I don't believe, and that's the main reason I believe that you ought not be a Jehovah's Witness, is because the Jehovah's Witness, they deny the Trinity. In other words, they don't know who God is. They don't know who God is. Yeah, that's the bottom. Because if you don't know that God is a Trinity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, then you don't know who God is. And see, the second thing, the Jehovah's Witness denied the deity of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is really God. No, they denied the deity of Jesus Christ. They look at Jesus as being like Michael, the archangel, and they look at Jesus as an angel rather than looking at him as God. But what do the Bible teach? The Bible teaches otherwise. Don't you remember over in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that name Emmanuel means God with us. And you see the same thing over in Matthew chapter 1, when the angel told Joseph that you should call his name Jesus. His name should be called Emmanuel, God with us, God with us. So, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Then in Isaiah 9 and 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and his name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Did you hear me? The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so in Isaiah 9 and 6, we see that again, Jesus is looked upon as being God. God. See, a child is born. That was the humanity side of Jesus. But a son is given. Notice, it didn't say the son was born. Why? Because the son is speaking of the deity of Jesus Christ. It's speaking of the God side. So Jesus, remember, he was both God, he was fully God, and he was fully man. Yeah, and Isaiah 9 and 6 tell us, it tells us who Jesus is. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Also, one of the clears is in John 1 and 1. When you go over in the New Testament, John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when you look down in verse number 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. So again, that was Jesus. Jesus was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's clear, ladies and gentlemen. That's very, very clear. So you was asking, is it wrong to be a Jehovah's Witness? Yes, because they don't know who the Savior is. They don't know who God is. They deny the Trinity, and then they deny Jesus as being God. So if Jesus is not God, then he don't qualify to be the Savior. He don't qualify to be the Savior. So I don't want to be following somebody who's not following the Savior. And then the third thing, the Jehovah Witness, they deny the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. They deny the physical resurrection. They say he came back, but he came back as a spirit. No, no. He didn't come back as no spirit. When Jesus came back, Jesus was able, Jesus ate food. Remember Thomas, John 20, chapter 20, verses 25 and 26. You know, Thomas, he denied the physical resurrection of Jesus because he says, unless I can put my hand in his nail prints in his hand and put my hand in the spear print in his side, Thomas says, I just won't believe. Thomas says, I'm not going out preaching about no Jesus. And he's still there in the grave. I am not going to preach unless I see it. Y'all must have seen a spirit or something, a ghost or something, but y'all didn't see no real Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus appeared to the other 10 disciples. But Thomas wasn't there. And so Jesus came back the next time when Thomas was there. And Jesus says, okay, Thomas. He showed him his hands. He said, okay, go ahead and put your hands in my nail print. And then he showed him his side. He said, here the spear print is. You said that you wanted to do that unless you wouldn't believe. And then Thomas fell down on his knees and said, oh, my Lord and my God. So Thomas saw the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus just wasn't raised as a spirit from the grave. It was a body from the grave. And that's what Christianity is built upon. It's built upon the empty tomb. When you go to that tomb, Jesus' body is missing. That's what Christianity is built on. It's built on the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you ask the question, is it wrong to be a Jehovah's Witness? Yes, it's wrong to be a Jehovah's Witness because they deny the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, the Jehovah's Witness deny the physical return of Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus left and he's physically, he's coming back physically. But the Jehovah Witness says that he's not coming back physically. But what do the Bible say? The Bible says over in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 30, it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all, here it is, all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of heaven with power and great glory. So all the tribes of the earth gonna moan and all the tribes gonna sing. So when Jesus come back, he's gonna come back in a physical way. He ain't coming back in a spirit way. Matter of fact, don't you remember over in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus left on a cloud? The Bible says that the angels came down and the angels asked the disciples, why are you standing here gazing? This same Jesus that you see taken up shall come back in like manner. Yeah, yeah. So is it wrong to be a Jehovah's Witness? Yeah, because they denied the physical return of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says Jesus is coming back in a physical way. And then the fifth thing, the Jehovah Witness denied the existence of hell. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe in hell. The Jehovah Witness teaches that the grave is hell. They teach that the grave is hell. But the Bible teaches a literal fiery hell. Mm-hmm. The Bible teaches a literal fiery hell. No, it's more than just the grave. When you die and a person is an unbeliever, they just ain't going to the grave. They going to hell. Did you hear what I said? They're going to H-E-L-L. Matter of fact, the demons even talk about that. The demons asked Jesus one day, when they saw him, it was some demons in a man, a demon-possessed man, and the demons asked Jesus, "Was you coming before the time to torment us?" See, hell is a place of torment, and you'll find that in Matthew 8:29. And then Jesus taught on hell. He taught on hell more than any other preacher in the Bible. He taught on hell, and particularly, don't you remember the story of the rich man and the poor man in Luke 16:19-31? Lazarus, remember the rich man? Both of them died, and one went to hell, and the other one went to Abraham's bosom. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. And the Bible says, and the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes in torment. And he asked, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here. And but Abraham told him, you know, no, there's a great gulf fixed. He wanted Lazarus to come down. He said, just give me a drop of water. Put his finger in a drop of water there and give me a drop of water. He inhaled and said, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. But that rich man was in torment. And then he said, well, let me get out or send somebody back to, because I got five brothers, and let my five brothers know about this place. They say, well, they got the Bible. They got the prophets. And if they don't want to believe the prophets, they're not going to believe somebody, you know, that comes back from the dead. Yeah, because Jesus came back from the dead, and folks still don't want to believe him. So is it wrong? Is it wrong to be a Jehovah's Witness? Yes, yes, because Jehovah's Witness, they denied the existence of hell. They denied the physical return of Jesus Christ. They denied the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. They denied the deity of Jesus Christ. And then they denied the Trinity. And so, yes, it's wrong. See, if you're a Jehovah's Witness and you don't believe in Jesus, then you don't believe in the Savior. Then you ain't got no Savior. So, you're on dangerous grounds if you allow them to pull you out of your church and go with them. Yeah, because they're not following the truth and the living God. Yeah, the Jehovah's Witness, it's a cult. Yeah. Let's move on. I got time for one more question. Let's see, can I get it in right quick? I'm a diabetic. Do I still need to fast? I'm a diabetic. Do I still need to fast? Well, some preachers may tell you that, you know, you need to fast. I don't think that fasting is for everybody. No, not fasting from food. Let me put it like that. Not fasting from food is for everybody. See, if you got a medical condition, I don't think that fasting is for you. You may have to try something else. Because, see, food is medicine. Food is medicine. And if you're missing eating, then that's like missing your medicine. See, when Elijah went on a fast, he was a man in good condition. See, the Bible says that he ran from Mount Carmel to Bathsheba. And that was, I think, probably about 90 miles. In other words, when you really even read that story, at first he outran King Ahab. King Ahab was riding on horse and chariot, and it started raining. Don't you remember? It was right after that was in 1 Kings 18, when it was a 3-year drought, and then Elijah went up to the mountain and he prayed that it would rain, and he told King Ahab, "You better get off this mountain, go back home, because it sounds like there's an abundant sound of rain," and God listened to Elijah's prayer. And Elijah prayed early on, 3 years earlier, don't let it rain, and God wouldn't let it rain. Then God heard Elijah's prayer again, "Lord, make it rain," God started making it rain, but Elijah outran Ahab, who was driving a chariot of horses, and Elijah outran them in the rain. So Elijah was in good condition. And then when you read chapter 19, Jezebel got on his trail. And Elijah, that's when he ran about another 90 miles. And he was so tired, he requested that he die. But the angel came, and the angel fed him. And for the next 40 days, he didn't eat anything. So he went on a fast for the next 40 days. But Elijah was in good condition. To outrun a horse, you got to be in good condition. So he was in good condition. And so I think that if you're going to fast, you better make sure that you are in good condition, particularly, you know, this person that's got these diabetes. But you know what's more important than fasting from food is having the spirit of fasting. Because, see, I would deny myself of something that I really enjoy. And that's what you probably need to do. Just deny yourself of something that you really, really enjoy, such as watching TVs. You know, because some people just sit around, they watch TV all day. Well, you just probably need to fast from television. You need to probably fast from television, get your Bible, and read your Bible, and pray, and do something nice, do something good. Because, see, the Bible talks about over in Isaiah 58 that there was two kind of fasting. There was one kind of fast that was unacceptable to God, but then there was another kind of fast that was acceptable to God. And you'll find that over in Isaiah 58, Isaiah 58, 3 through 5, that was an unacceptable fast. But when you read round 6 and 7, it was an acceptable fast. And the acceptable fast, verse number 6 says, "Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the band of the wickedness, to undo heavy burden, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke?" And so that's what you do. Do something good. Deny yourself of something that you really like doing, such as watching television, and then do something good to help somebody else. And I believe that God will accept that as your fast. All right, all right. Well, that's it for today here in the Situation Room. Thank you so kindly for joining us today. We hope something was said and something was done to help you and encourage you on your Christian journey. All right, all right. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. All right, at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. 11 o'clock, we're going to take a deeper look in the book, let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.